and that ought to be the desire of our heart. Lord, open our eyes and open our ears and open our mouths. Amen? All right. This morning, if you'll take your Bible and turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews, and chapter 12, I'd like to take my text out of verse 1. In Hebrews, in chapter 12, this morning. And in Hebrews, in chapter 12, and verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This morning, I'd like to take the opportunity and preach to you running the race. Now, brethren, I know by looking at me, you don't think the first thing that pops into your head is not, "Brother Sam must be a runner." You're probably not thinking that. Now, all of you who might get this on tape or CD, I'm about 6 foot tall, you see, and I'm real thin and fit. Right? No. Alright. No, you won't look at me and think, "Well, Brother Sam, he's just looking to tell he's a runner by looking at him. I mean, can't you tell?" No, you don't think that. Now, if Harry was up here, or maybe Sammy, or he were up here, we'd look at them and go, "They're fit young men. They're able to run. They look like they're runners." Right? This morning, we're going to speak about running and some things that are true physically about running and running a race, and how they apply, how Paul said, he's using this, Paul says, "Hey, I want to share something with you, something in real life that you can take and apply to your spiritual life." Because the race we're going to speak of this morning is going to be the spiritual battle and the struggle and our daily fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and our strive to get through it. And Paul assimilates it to be like a race. He says it's like a race. Now, in a race, he says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race." And I'm going to tell you this morning, I do know some things about racing. And I'm talking about running. I know some things that are true because I've experienced them, and I've seen them experienced, and I've watched how it works. I've seen how it works. So I'm not going to tell you things that I've just read and understand to be true by reading them. I'm going to tell you some things that are true this morning because I've experienced them, and I'm hoping that I, by my experience, can impart to you if you don't know. And if you do know, it'll encourage you because you know it's true. And if you don't know, it'll help you in your daily struggle when you're running your race, your spiritual race. There's a few things in this Christian life here compared to a race. Understanding that some things we can learn here that will help us in our own life as far as independently in our families, and not only our family but our church as we struggle together. But we're going to do it, Paul says somewhere else, and we're going to get there in a little bit, but he says we're going to do it that we might attain the prize. There's a reason why we're going to struggle. There's a reason why we're going to run the race. There's a reason behind it. It's not just because we are or we've been put into it. It's because we want to attain something. Brethren, we want to attain something by doing this and doing it well. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But I want to say there's some few things just in general here I want to share with you about running. In real life, running, the first thing I want to share with you is it's hard to start doing. It's hard to go from sitting down to running. You say, well, I'll just stand up and take off running. Well, yeah, sure. If a bear's chasing you, you can jump up quick and take off running quick. But if you say, now I'm going to go and I'm going to run and I'm going to go to a race. Sister Carrie has run several marathons and half marathons, and she has beguiled me into these. Tricked me into them. Oh, it's easy. You can do it. Anybody can do it. Oh, man. And I've learned some things. The hardest part about running was just getting up and preparing myself to go outside and run. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about getting out of bed, putting on your running clothes, tying your running shoes, getting ready to go out the door. Because I tell you, once you get out the door, it's all downhill from there. And I don't know why it is, but the struggle, the biggest part of it, is just getting ready to run. It is. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a mental thing. Oh, I don't want to run. I'm tired. My elbow hurts. My back hurts. I'm tired. I didn't get enough to eat. I got to go to work. Everything you possibly could think of happens when you want to do something like go run. Everything happens that's going to happen in your life that's terrible right before you get ready to do something that you need to do. And I'm going to tell you something, in our Christian life, every time you make a preparation to do something for the Lord, everything comes up to get you when you're not able to do what you have planned and purposed to do. But I want to say, first of all, for me, in real life, it's the hardest part is getting up and getting ready. Getting out of the chair, getting out of the bed, getting up and preparing myself to go do it in real life. Once you get out the door, outside and see, okay, I'm here now. I've gotten up, I've ate my porridge or my, they call it food. It's not really food. I want you to know, they're tricking you. It's not food, Brother Ron. Now my wife eats it and she calls it food, but it's not. It's not food. It don't taste good. Supposedly, it's a mental thing to make you do better, but I don't believe it's really anything. What do y'all call it? Oatmeal. It's not food. If it don't have bacon, it's not food. You know what I'm saying? They call it oatmeal. And she said, eat oatmeal! You'll be able to run so fast! And you'll go in. Lies! Oatmeal. Okay, so you get up and you get your oatmeal and you eat this and you get prepared and you're ready to go. And I say, when you get outside and you get to where your starting point is and you know what the challenge is set before you, even though that's hard and the actual running is tiresome and the actual doing of it is labor and you're going to sweat and you're going to hurt and you're going to train your body to do it. Nobody accidentally went running somewhere. Nobody has ever accidentally go, bah, 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 bah. You ain't gonna believe today. I went to go to my car and I ran 3 miles and got in my car and went to work. No. You're gonna have to on purpose, you're gonna have to get ready, prepare yourself, go out, do it, and put time and effort into it. And I wanna say this about running. This is something else I noticed about running. For me, you gotta give up something to go run. In fact, you gotta give up a few things to go run. But you got to give up something. Brother Ron, if you sleep in till 9, you got to get up at 7. And you got to give up some of your sleep maybe to go run. Or maybe you don't have to give up sleep. Maybe you don't have a problem with time. You got plenty of time, but you're going to have to give up time cleaning the house maybe, if that's what you did in that time. You're going to have to give up time doing schoolwork if that's what you were doing in that time. Or maybe you're going to have to give up some of your own personal, precious, precious time of doing nothing and sitting and watching TV. You're going to have to give up something to take the place of running if you're going to run. Now, I'm not talking about just walking outside and jogging around, you know, a couple pear trees and running back into the house. I'm talking about if you're going to put time aside and actually run and strive to make a race or make a starting line and a finish line in life, in real life, you're going to have to set time aside. And that time is going to be taken from someone. It's going to be taken from someone. You're going to have to set time aside. It's not going to accidentally happen. Now, the other day, I ran. It wasn't in my plan. It wasn't a part of my schedule. I was at a football game. A young boy got tackled, broke his arm, and the medical guy was there, and he said, I need my bag. So I ran 100 yards or so, however far it is, across this field to go get his bag, and I ran back with his bag. It was unnecessary. It was an emergency. He needed it. Okay? So sometimes we run. You know, whew. Okay? Sometimes we aren't planning on it. We have to do it. We pay for it. We're talking about running. I want you to understand physically in real life there's some things. It's tough. It's hard. We're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to give up some of your time. And you're going to have to give up some other things if it's going to take any effect in your life. Now, if your plan is like mine was one time, I ran a race one time. My wife and her sister conned me and challenged me and beat me down with words like, oh, we're going to beat you and you're slow and stuff like that. And I said, listen, me man, me beat you. I'm not going to have no woman beat me in a race. Especially my wife. So she said, well, we're going to go practice running. I said, practice running for what? But what do you need to practice for? It's only 3 miles. It's 30 minutes of running. Go ahead, go practice. See y'all later. Ha! I'm going to Bojangles and getting me some fried chicken. While y'all practice. And so they practice, and then time came for the run, and we all got down there to the start line, and they were doing all these stretching, and I was like, what are you doing? We're getting ready to run. You're running just 30 minutes. I said, okay, all right. I was feeling good. I jumped up and down, did a couple jumping jacks. Helping my knees a little bit. I'm ready to go. I got my running shoes on. I got in the front. I don't want to be behind all them slow people. I got to the front. And boy, time to go. Go. Boom. I took off running. I passed everybody. I was in front of everybody. Nobody was in front of me. The Marines, we were on the Marine Corps base. They were running. I was passing them. Every time I passed a group of Marines, it looked like I was passing a forest. All camouflage going right by me. I was just going. Man, I was running and I was running and my heart rate was getting up. My breathing was getting heavy. And I was running like, boy, I'm going to be done with this race. And I'm going to be able to relax before they even get to the end because I'm going to be there so fast. And I ran and ran and I got to this sign that said, turn here, and I ran, and there wasn't a whole lot of people there. In fact, I don't think there was anybody running. Nobody. And I was going fast! Woo! Man, I was doing good! I was happy! I was like, man, carrying them, they're back there! They're probably still stretching. Brother Ron, and I saw the sign coming up, and I was getting a little bit out of breath, and I said, you know, maybe I should slow down. A little bit. Just a little bit. I'll slow down a little bit. got to the sign, and surely I'm almost halfway, or almost nearly done with this race. And it said, 1/2 mile.
Half a mile? Oh, I'm 1/2 mile from the finish line. Woohoo!
And I slowed down a little bit, kind of catch my breath. I'm still running, and the next sign said, 3/4 of a mile. Like, what in the world? Pretty soon I'm walking. Catch my breath. Walking fast. I'm walking faster. I'm not just walking slow. I'm walking fast. And I get to the 1 mile mark, and then people start passing me. Like, well, it's okay. I mean, it's okay if a couple young Marines fast pass me. That's okay. I can handle that. And then women started passing me, and old people, and wheelchairs, and strollers, and people walking were passing me. Then my wife passed me. It was horrible. Brother, they beat me because I wasn't prepared to run that race. And I want to tell you something. I know that's funny, and it's real life. It really did happen. I didn't make none of that up. That really is true. A lady passed me in a stroller with a baby in it.
I tried to run, but she passed me. I'm gonna run! My legs wouldn't move. They got heavy. And they wouldn't go.
I want to tell you something. In our Christian life, if we don't make preparation to run, we won't be just like that.
This morning, I want to give you a few things that might help us, me, and help you, and our running the race of our Christian life. If you'll take notice of verse 1 of Hebrews in chapter 12, he tells us a few things here that will help us if we'll try to apply them. He says in verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight, if we'll lay aside every weight, we can do something. And the first thing I want to speak about this morning and talk about is laying aside some weight. And I think about and I contemplate in my mind, what would he be talking about when he says, lay aside weight. And I want to say this. In real life, one of the biggest hindrances for anybody to take up the exercise of running is their weight. I can't run. I'm too heavy. It hurts my knee. It hurts my feet. Physically, I can't do it because of my weight. Now, Paul's telling him here, he says, hey, lay aside weight. Now, brethren, if in real life we could walk up and go to the start line, okay, I'm going to take off this extra 20 pounds and set it aside. I'm going to take off this extra 50 pounds and I'm going to set it aside. We might be able to do more in a real race if we were able to do that. But we can't. You're going to have to strive and work at laying aside every weight. In real life, if you're going to lose weight and you're going to try to get healthier by running, you're going to have to run and diet and exercise until the weight comes off. And then on race day, you might be able to do something. It's not going to happen instantly. And I want to say this. Paul says, lay aside every weight. We need to put away things that is going to hold us back from performing in your life, your Christian life. Now, brethren, we studied some of these things in Colossians in chapter 3. Let's turn there for just a minute. Colossians in chapter 3. A couple months ago, we studied these. And I just want to read these two verses in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, if we're going to run the race, we're going to have to put off some weight and some things that are going to hold us back when we're talking about the Christian life and running this race for the glory of God in our life. We're going to have to put off some of these weights that drag us down. Some of these things that are going to hold us back and make it hard to continue in the race. I want to say this right here. Look, turn to Luke in chapter 8. The book of Luke in chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, we're going to see one of those things, which is a weight that holds us back. And he says here, he's speaking on the sower and the seed. And he's talking about those which fell amongst thorns in verse 14. And he says, and that which fell amongst thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Let me tell you something, brethren. If we're going to run the race and talk about a spiritual race that we're speaking of for the Lord, we're going to have to put aside some of the cares of this world. Some of the things in this world will drag you down. Some of the things in this world will keep you back and hinder you and keep you from being able to run. They will. Some people, it's their job. Some people's job is so demanding, they don't allow them any time for fellowship. Doesn't allow them any time for reading of their Bible. Doesn't allow them any time for the things that are necessary spiritually in our lives to be able to run this race. Some people, it's going to be family. Your family's demanding, or your family makes it incapable for you to be faithful when it comes to the things that will help you as you struggle. We talked about getting up in the morning. It's hard to do when you mentally are preparing yourself to go run. And I'm not talking about every day, I'm talking about when you're starting to run. When you decide, I'm going to run, I'm going to strive. It's the beginning and the starting of it that seems to be the hardest part. I want to say that sometimes the cares of this world, whether it's our job or our family, sometimes the cares of life and riches and money, and let me tell you something, everything revolves around money in this world. Everything. Whether it's making it, spending it, trying to keep it, trying not to spend so much of it, everything revolves in our life about how are we going to keep it. How are we going to support ourselves? How is our family going to do? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Everything in our life, every day, you make decisions about money. Every day. Every day! And so money can be one of those things that get in, one of those cares and one of those things in our life that put a weight on us, that keep us and hinder us from going forth and running like we ought to run. Because he says, the cares of this life come in and entangle us and hold us back. I want to tell you, brethren, he said we ought to put off some things. We talked about that Colossians. There are some things we got to put off and things that will easily beset us. Money, the cares of life, and riches. Let me tell you something, brethren. I was reading in Matthew this morning, and in Matthew, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, he said, hey, take no thought of grain. Take no thought of food. Don't take no thought of it. Even the lilies, they're dressed, and they're better off than Solomon when it comes to beauty. And they have no thought of that. The Lord clothed them. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to do. I'm not saying this is going to be easy or it's going to be the first thing that comes to your mind. But brethren, if we'll put the Lord Jesus Christ first and the things that are necessary spiritually
in our lives first, the Lord will supply and He will help us when it comes to the other.
If we're going to get up and we're going to run and we're going to practice so we can run this race and we're going to be fit, we've got to put aside some things that are going to hold us back. Ephesians in chapter 4. In Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 22, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to say this. We're going to have to put aside some things that are physically, really physically keeping us from the spiritual life that we struggle for. And then secondly, we're going to have to put aside some of the mental aspects or the spiritual aspects that keep us. He said, put off the old man and put on the new man. Let me tell you something. The old Sam Baker, when Carrie said, I decided to go running, said, great, see you later. Hope that worked out for you. But when she said, I want you to go running with me, why? Why me? What did I do to you?
Why would you want me to go run with you?
Let me tell you something. The mental torment in your mind of I've got to get up every morning and eat oatmeal and run. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. Let me tell you something. In real life, when you face the devil and you face that opposition and you know I'm going to have to put aside some of the things of the flesh, I'm going to have to set aside some time, I'm going to have to remove the things I like, and I'm going to have to struggle and fight for what I know. When it comes to spiritual things, mentally, you got to set them aside. You got to set them aside. Ephesians in chapter 4 says, put off that, put ye off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Let me tell you something. The flesh will say, why? What does it matter? The flesh will say, what good is it going to do? They're all going to do what they're going to do no matter what you do. How are you going to change the whole world? The flesh says, and he says, put off that former conversation and put you on the new man. Because the new man says, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me be involved. Let me pass out tracts. Let me read my Bible. Let me study. Let me pray. Every time we pray for one another, we don't see instant results. Sometimes it takes time and effort for a result to be had. Hey, brethren, let us not be bogged down in that weight of the old man and the flesh and the former conversation of the way we used to think. Keep us from getting up, getting ready, and going to run. He said, first of all, in Hebrews in chapter 12, he said, laying aside every weight. If you're going to run, not once. I'm not talking about running once. I'm not talking about even going running twice. But if you're going to daily run, you're going to have to let some of your weight go. It's what's going to hold you back the most.
You're going to have to let some things go. Well, brethren, we're going to have to put aside some of the things if we're going to struggle and strive and intend with the Lord.
We're going to have to let some things go. Secondly, I want to say this in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, let us lay aside every weight and let us lay aside sin. He says, let us lay aside every weight. And then there's the conjunction and. And then it says sin. So not only do we need to lay aside weight, But we need to put away or lay aside sin. You say, Brother Sam, we're Christians. We love the Lord. What are you talking about? Let me share with you. He says, sins that so easily beset us. Now, beset means to move away from or divide. Beset means that you're here, but it's making you be over here. It gets you off course. It's besetting. I want to tell you, brethren, as Christians, we can have sin in our lives that will beset us when it comes to running our life in this spiritual battle for the Lord. We can have things in our life that will beset us. We've got to lay aside the weight. And now, let's look at just a few things that he says. He says, sin. There are sins that each one of us fight off and struggle with. And it might even be called, you might have heard it called, our besetting sin. Well, let's just go to Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 13. Romans in chapter 13. Your besetting sin is probably going to be one of your favorite sins. It's going to be one of those things you know is wrong and it's been a struggle in your life to let go of. It's going to be one of those things that seems like you're always asking the Lord to forgive you more and to help you with. That could be your besetting sin. Romans in chapter 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. I just want to say as a general blanket, brethren, if we're going to lay aside some sin, we're going to have to lay aside those things that we make provision for the lust of our flesh. In real life, and running, you're going to have to put the Doritos down. You're going to have to lay aside the fried chicken. You're going to have to put down the bacon. And you're going to run and make an effect. Now, those will keep you from running. But they'll keep you from succeeding and advancing in your life. Brethren, we lay aside the weights. What good is it if we lay aside the weights, the things that tangle us, and then we hold on to the sin? He says in Romans chapter 13, the lust of the flesh. Brother, that's something we're always going to have. You will always have the lust of the flesh until you get your new body. This body has desires and things it wants. It thinks it needs and demands. And you're going to have to lay aside some of the lust of the flesh. We're going to have to set it aside. He says, make no provision for it. Sometimes, brethren, we take effort and time to make room and time for our personal desires and not the desires of the Lord. He says, lay aside. And we're going to have to make room and time for the Holy Spirit and not make provisions for the flesh. Now, yesterday, there was a football game on. You might have heard about it. It was called Clemson, I'm not going to Carolina and Georgia. Big rivalry. It was a good game. If you watched, it was a great game. I made provisions to watch the game. I did. I set time aside. I had my snacks. I had my drink. I was ready for the game. Let me tell you something. That's no different than us making time and provision for the Lord. Just like we make provisions for the flesh to enjoy something, it's the same way when we make provisions and time for the Lord. Hey, I want to pray. So I'm going to set some time aside that I have set aside for prayer. I can't do that in the middle of the day because I'm usually working. I can't do it in the evening because I'm usually taking care of other things. So I try to take time in the morning. Before my day starts, before I get so busy and entangled in the affairs of life, that I set some time aside to pray. And I want to tell you, brethren, I'm just using that for an example. We all have things that we're going to have to let go of this week. And we all have sin that we need to lay aside so they don't beset us in our race and in our running. Just turn to 2 Corinthians, just a few pages over. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Hey, brethren, there's always room in our lives. There's always room in our lives to let go of and not give ourselves the fulfilling that the flesh demands when it comes to things the Lord calls sin. We need to make sure we lay aside sin, those things that easily beset us. Some people, it might be music. Music might be something that you have to have in your life and desire it so much, and it's not pleasing to the Lord. It doesn't glorify God. And you know what you have to do? Let it go. You have to set it aside. Some people, it might be entertainment. I love watching TV. And so therefore, I spend hours and hours every day watching TV. You have to set it aside. Some people, it might be entertainment when it comes to social things, of being with people and going places and the things that will satisfy the flesh, but they don't glorify God. When they become more, and you're a child of God, and they become more serious to you, and they become more demanding to you, and they take the place of your worship, and take the place of your relationship with the Lord, they become sin. And they have to be set aside. I don't know what your besetting sin might be. You know. You all know what you struggle with. I know what I struggle with. And it's going to have to be something that I'm going to have to take time to put away and put aside for the glory of God when it comes to this race. Or else I'm going to be beset about. Thirdly of all, well, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. First Peter in chapter 2 and verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. He's talking to brethren. He's talking to the brethren. Let me tell you something. Some of the sin that we might need to set aside is our gossip. Some of the things we might need to set aside is our evil speakings of different people. Whether it be the government, whether it be principalities and powers. He says, not the rail on. Now, brethren, sometimes they give us really good reasons to say things that we feel are necessary. They really do. But I want to tell you something. He's told us to not to get so entangled in those things that it keeps us from doing something we ought to do for the glory of God. We shouldn't be so entangled with it. We can't serve the Lord. Laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings. Brethren, I get involved in that. You get involved in that. We get so emotional. We get so tied up sometimes with the junk going on in the world and the way the world portrays it and the way they fight for it, then we get so angry, we get so upset, it actually keeps us sometimes from fulfilling the work of the gospel. I'm guilty of it. I know I am. I've had tracks in my pocket before, and I saw somebody, and I said, you know what? That dirt ball right there, that wicked person, because I saw something in them that the Lord called an abomination. And because of my hatred for the sin, and my hatred for those who love it, and portray it, and push it on everybody, I turn and walk away. Let me tell you something. Let us not let our personal hatred, or feelings, if you will, I'm not going to use hatred, but the feelings we have toward people, whether because of their sin or because of their nature and themselves, keep us from being able to give the gospel or do the work we're supposed to do, we're responsible for, it'll become sin for us. Let us not let that happen, and let us not be set so easily. Let us put aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I want to say this thirdly of all, in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hey, I want to say this right here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians before I get too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I mentioned this in the beginning of the message. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fighting I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to say a couple things about this right here. He says, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And I want to say this right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, run that you might obtain. Now, brethren, when I run a half marathon, and I have, and I run a 5K or a 10K, I have never ran thinking, I'm going to win. I never have. I know I'm not half. I know I am. I know. Now, they have different categories. They have the young people, then they have the 18 to 25, and the 25 to 31, and the 31 to 37. They had the men's category, the women's category. They got all these categories so everybody can get a trophy. I never got one. Let me tell you something. The Lord says, run. Now, everybody runs in a real race that they might obtain a prize. Right? In a real race, you run so you might get the trophy or the prize, whatever it might be. He says, we're running to obtain an incorruptible. We aren't running, brethren, for a trophy to put on a shelf. We're running to do something for the glory of God. We're going to do something. He's going to give us an incorruptible crown. And if you go over to the book of Revelation, he said, then we're going to take them crowns and we're going to give them back to the Lord and throw them at his feet. I want to say something, brethren. If we're going to run and we're going to strive for the mastery and we're going to be in this fight for the faith and in the struggle of life, let's do it to win. In real life, I run races, and I say, I finished. Yeah, how'd you do? I finished. I went across the finish line. Yes, I was walking when I crossed, but I finished. And they go, well, that's a good job. I'm glad you finished. And you know what? It is a good job. If you put your mind and effort to something, and you start it, you should finish it. That's great.
But in this battle, and in this race of the Christian life, brethren, let's not just run it to say,
yeah, I was in the Christian race. I was there. No.
and let me put some real effort into it and let's strive for that incorruptible crown.
I want to say this. Run like you want to win. In the Christian life and in the Christian race of life, I want to finish. I don't want to be like brethren we've heard that become shipwrecked and didn't finish in good standing in the Lord. Their life was finished, but their race was not complete. I don't want to quit because I've got so much weight, I can't run anymore.
I don't want to have to quit running because I've got so much entanglement in sin. I can't even.
Brethren, we ought to examine ourselves when in our spiritual battle of this running the race, have we set aside the weights? Have we set aside the sins? He says here in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, not to be as one, what verse was it here? 23 or 24, he says, verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I thought about that.
What do you talk about beating the air? Here people shadow off.
Talking about those who might appear to be a fighter, appear to be a runner, appear to be in the battle, but when it comes time for the battle to start, they don't look so good anymore. Let me tell you something. In real life, let us not practice when we come to church something and then don't believe it. There's a great danger. Because then we become those that they call hypocrites. And we become those who would actually cause others to fall away from the faith because we don't actually fulfill what we say. And we'll get over here and we'll get all worked up, Brother Ron, and we're getting all of our doctrine right, we're getting all of our words right, we're getting everything just right, woo! And we get out there and don't be like that, brethren. Let's not be that way. I say this right here. Therefore, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beat the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. You know what you can do? You can become a and a failure in the Christian ways in such a way that you actually will become the anchor that drags somebody else down. Your sin might drag somebody else down. He says in the very end of verse 27, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey, brother, we got to be careful if we're going to run this race, that we don't just pretend and look good on Sunday, and then Monday through Friday, Saturday, we're causing others to fall by the wayside or not be able to because we're just fighting the air. We're looking good. We've got the shadow boxing down. But when it comes time to hit and the battle starts coming at us, we fail. We fail them and we fail the Lord. We fail ourselves. I want to say this right here. Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let me tell you something, brethren. When we do this, when that Christian life, when we apply it in our lives, we'll put aside the weight of this sin, and we can run faithfully, truly, and not be hypocritical in our lives. He'll bring forth reward if we'll do it with some purpose. I'm running and striving that I might obtain that crown. Hey, if we'll struggle and try and put aside these things, He'll glorify Himself in us. Not us glorifying Him by us. He'll glorify Himself through us. Amen? That's the only way it can be done. Hey, Philippians in chapter 3, just one page over there probably. Ephesians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, brethren. Don't run the race and look at your brethren and think how well you're doing, because each one of you are here in your own race. You're not having a race against me. I'm not in great faith, Brother Sean, not Cousin. I might not be in the grocery store, but I'll be in the little pack of grocery store. And he'll stop. Hey, you can tell you something. We're not in a race with one another. Our race is run to the Lord and before Him. The trials we have are our trials with the Lord, not with one another. Don't let us look at one and go, how am I doing so good? I just passed out of my mind. Our race is run unto the Lord. He's our master. I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. And I'm not going to look at one servant of the Lord who has to answer his master and go, hey, I do it so much better than you. Look, Lord! Look at what I'm doing! No. We all have our own struggles. We all have our own handicap, if you will. Those besetting sins, brother. We all have different backgrounds. Not everybody got saved when they were 12 years old. Not everybody has the same baggage. Not everybody has the same burden they have to carry. Not everybody's got the same mission. Not everybody's got the same calling. We all are in different places, brethren, and we're all in our own race before the Lord. We have to be careful. He says, press toward the mark. I want to say he's talking about the finish line. Let me tell you what. If I can just finish in the good graces of the Lord and not cause myself to fall and fumble and hurt myself and hurt the brethren, I've done real good. He says, press toward the high mark. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I'm almost done here. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. We're talking about running the race for the glory of God and the race of our lives. I charge ye therefore in verse 1, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. He says, I'm going to charge you. Verse 2, He begins the charge. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelist, make full proof thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I want to say this, brethren. Lord's coming back. I hope He comes back soon, Brother Ron. I don't know when He's going to be here. I just want to be ready when He gets here. I don't want to say, Brother Ron, I went to church for 9 years, and I served the Lord for 9 years, and I fought the race, and I was in the race, and I did great. And on the 10th year, I got tired, and I quit. And I gave up on my struggles. I picked up some of my weight. And I picked up some of my sins. And they beset me. And when the Lord came back, yeah, I was saved. Yeah, I had some time of service for the Lord. But He found me in a position. What a shame. What a shame. I always think like this. I heard a preacher saying this one time. What if the Lord comes back right after the season? What if the Lord shows up the day after you say, I've had enough, I've done enough, I'm done with this life, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm tired of living this way. What if the Lord shows up the next day? What a shame. What a shipwreck. Brethren, Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Friend, that ought to be our heart's desire. To say, you know what? We're in this race. We're in the race. When it comes to our struggle and our life for the Lord and living in this world, let's lay aside worry. Let's lay aside sin. Let's set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and mission. Hey, I want to tell you something. If we'll do that, and we'll struggle and try. One day we can say, I finished my course. I kept the faith. And I tell you what, brethren, there's a crown of righteousness, not only for Brother Paul, but he says here in verse 8, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Let me tell you something, brethren. I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be in. I want to be able to have something to give back to the Lord. I hate to be the only guy in the line when they were coming before the Lord and throwing their crowns at His feet. You know? Let us strive. Brethren, let's get up. It's hard. It's hard! Let's get up. Let's prepare ourselves to run. Let's get out there and run! Let's put aside the weight. Let us put aside the sins that easily beset us. And let us strive that we might together. Brother, this church, we're doing this together. Our church is running as a whole. We all run independently because we're individuals. But we still strive together as a whole. We all affect one another. Let us continue. This morning, I'd like to ask you a few questions. First of all, are you running the race? Have you entered the course? Have you been saved, is what I'm saying.
Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever been confronted with the fact that you're a sinner? There's a holy and righteous God who respects the very need, pain and need of that sin.
Not only does He expect payment for that sin, He's also given you the payment for that sin.
If you'll let go of your own payment system, you've got the EPP. You say, what's the EPP?
That's the easy payment plan. One payment, one time, and that's it, and you're done.
Jesus Christ died on the cross. Gave His life, His blood, that you might have atonement for your sins. Are you in the race? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
I want to ask you this. Are you in the race? How are you doing? How are you doing in the race? Are you struggling? Does it seem like you can't ever make any headway?
Does it seem like everything that happens, one step forward, two steps back? Check your feet if you lay aside the weight
that so easily beset us, brethren. The weights, the cares of this world. And then He says the sins. Have we set aside? Is there something keeping you from serving the Lord? And then are you running to obtain?
Are you just running because it's a mediocre thing? I'm here, I'm running. Aren't you happy? Are you running to obtain? Hey, I'm running. I'm running. I'm used to the Lord. So I can have something from the Lord.
This morning, running the race.
Are we running the race? Have we laid aside the weights and sins?
And are we running to obtain the prize? That's my question for you this morning. Sister Carrie, if you'll come and play us a hymn, I want to give a time of invitation for anybody.
If you'll stand, we'll have a word of prayer in a minute, but I will give an opportunity of invitation this morning for anybody.
If the Lord's touched your heart in any way, you can say, you know what, I need to do something, and the Lord's touched my heart. I want to give opportunity and time this morning for you and for me.
To do whatever business you might have with the Lord.